Understand? No father. No escape for you. You either leave this bois bloodied, or with my blood on your swords.
Transfer complete.
Hello and welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and joining me on the bridge.
Oh, sorry, Cam. That was just me. I had my mic off. It was on mute as we're doing this Zoom chat. It seems to be happening for a lot of people that are doing these chats on Zoom. But apologies. Mic on mute. I'll figure out next time, sir.
Well, that's very fortunate then. So now that you're with us, for this week's...
Well, I think the reason why would I be on Zoom, Cam? Why would anybody be on Zoom these days? And of course, we've got a genius plan, and it's to reunite every single cast from Star Trek on Zoom, of course, for a table read. What do we mean by table read, Cam?
I don't know if a lot of you are familiar out there. A lot of casts, due to the coronavirus, are staging on Zoom live readings of famous scripts from their TV shows. Well, hey, Star Trek hasn't done this yet. Why not?
Yeah, are you surprised that like nobody has thought of the idea of like getting a whole cast back together, do it for charity, something like that? It just seems like such low-hanging fruit for something that can be done during such an uncertain period in time right now across the world.
Totally. I mean, we did see that the Voyager cast did do a live reunion online talking about the show, but it was much more of a Q&A type thing, much more standard. It didn't really feel that special.
That reunion was actually kind of awkward. Did you watch it?
I did, yeah.
It was very strange. They had people in for a few minutes, then other people would drop off, and they had moderators who you could tell that they only had some basic working knowledge of the series. So you're getting a lot of questions like, how long did your makeup take? You know, it's just kind of like, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was definitely done through a series where the host interviewed people from all segments of show business, not just Star Trek. So yeah, it was more general stuff. But yeah, you are right. It was weird how it would just drop like four cast members, you know, and then bring in four more. It's like, wait, this isn't really a reunion.
Not really, no.
So it was kind of like fine filler for people out there who really wanted some sort of Voyager reunion content, what with the conventions not rolling through this summer. But otherwise, it was kind of left something to be desired. But I think it did raise questions, you know, at least it did with us, of why aren't they doing live table reads, which could be a lot of fun and would take up less time really than what these, you know, Q&A segments were taking up.
Yeah, well, let's jump right into it. Let's start with the original series. What would be like a solid episode idea? And I think we've got to understand that with maybe some cast members having passed away over the years, I don't know, could we pretend as if maybe we can recruit some of the Kelvinverse analogs or maybe the Discovery analogs to fill in some of the roles that need to be read throughout this script reading here?
I think so. Why not?
Yeah, okay. Kim, you kick it off. What is a solid table read episode that would reunite the cast, raise millions of dollars, and spread joy across the galaxy?
Well, I will say TOS was one of the most difficult because you have three surviving cast members in Nichelle Nichols, Walter Koenig, and George Takei, who are all still with us, can give good performances, but how many episodes actually give all three of them something to do that's interesting?
Almost none. That was my issue as well. Yes.
And so you basically, I found there was a couple that they were there. Like I thought the Deadly Years, they're all there and they all do something. But I don't know that anyone is like screaming out among the fandom for a live reading of the Deadly Years.
Perhaps, especially in this period in time, you know.
Right.
During a pandemic.
It's grim all around. So I just thought, yeah. No one wants that. So one I thought would be interesting is sort of a bit of a compromise to get the cast all together and do something where they all have something to do, is do a remake of The Naked Time and let Walter Koenig read the Kevin Reilly part. You could even retrofit it a bit.
Okay.
Even make it Chekhov and just play around with that. It wouldn't take a lot of, you know, refitting or anything. You just obviously get rid of the Irish heavy stuff. But we can make it Russian just for the sake of the entertainment of the reading. I think this could be a really fun one. It's basically a bottle episode for the most part. You have the cast all together. They all are doing something on the ship. Nichelle Nichols is going to do Uhura fun stuff, you know, rolling her eyes at the Kevin Reilly singing stuff. So it doesn't feel like one where, you know, for example, Chekhov just goes, aye, aye, or something like that. Like they all do bits and pieces here and there. So I think the Naked Time could really be really fun. It's also, you know, a little timely, what with the idea of a virus. Although in this case, one that's a lot more entertaining.
Getting old, entertaining as always. I think that, no, that's a great pick. I think you do have to kind of balance it off with the actors, though, and that's very challenging. That's why I picked Assignment Earth. We just have, all it is Shatner staring at a monitor the entire time while we get the return of Gary Seven. That when they reenact Gary walking up the rocket, that could be exquisite Zoom action right there, Cam.
Okay, who is Tyler? Who is the special guest who's coming in to voice Gary Seven?
Let me think. It would have to be like a kind of a heavy from like the TOS era, you know, but not necessarily like a main cast member. It was who played Gomez from the Addams Family back in the day? That actor, that
John guy. John Astin.
John Astin, yes.
I don't think he's with us anymore.
Well, neither is the Gary Seven actor either. So it's tough. No, Cam, I'm joking around. It's not Assignment Earth. It's not Assignment Earth. I realized. Okay, so I actually picked my TOS episode last. The reason why is because that was actually the hardest one for me to pick out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I actually just fell into something that you'll probably notice as I go through this, but I'm playing with a lot of episodes in which the actors essentially do dress up quite a bit. And I think that, look, I try to go with more obscure episodes further down our list as we move through it. But I went with the Enterprise incident in that this is one in which you are giving Shatner and Spock especially just so much to do right there. But you also have like more obscure characters. Well, not obscure characters, but you have like Nurse Chapel. She gets to be involved with this one as well as the rest of the main cast. So I think this is a fun one. We've got the Romulans popping in. I think there's some potential for some fun guest star spots as well. If you're asking me to pick out, you know, 60s TV stars that could fill in for roles, maybe it could also be a reunion of the Brady Bunch. That could be some potential there. I just like the idea of Shatner, I don't know, maybe popping on some Romulan ears during this Zoom chat at age 86, 87.
I definitely considered this one. The only reason I didn't quite, and believe me, I strongly, strongly considered this one, was that so much of the stories about Spock and the Romulan commander, I was like, does the rest of the cast want to sit there for long, long stretches while that stuff's going on?
But that's just the series as it was, right?
I know.
Like that was, yeah. So that's why I didn't feel too bad about picking that one. I think The Deadly Years is a great pick.
Naked Time was my actual pick. Deadly Years I consider, Time is the actual pick.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. That joke I cracked about people getting older, that was in reference to Deadly Years. But yeah. But no, but again, it's funny. I'll just spoil one of my TNG runner-ups, but I was going to say Naked Now. Just because you're giving everyone something to do. So I'm totally agree with you there. But in this situation, I think people are used to, you know, those guys getting, you know, kind of the limelight, you know, shining on them. But another one that I'll throw out there, just kind of a fun one. Arena, mostly because I think it would be amazing to have some actor just do grunts as the Gorn.
Well, Bobby Clark is still alive. Bobby Clark could come in and do it.
If he wants to do grunts, that's great. But also, I'm just picturing Shatner, you know, on Zoom reenacting a lot of the stunts that he did back in the day. And then also ripping a shirt, you know, like just so like his one nipple is showing. Like that would be something to see.
You see, it's moments like that that I did think of for all the cast of like moments where you get the fans really just amped up. Like for me, I thought, you know, George Takei doing his fencing scene on Zoom audiences would love it, right? So that's definitely a great moment. And yeah, Arena, you would definitely have some fun stuff with Shatner basically miming, dodging giant rocks and firing cannons. So I think that could be really fun.
It'd be great if somebody was off screen throwing rocks at him, you know, like styrofoam rocks, of course, but you know, it'd be a fun one to play with. Do you have like a runner up or anything like that that you wanted to share? Well, you did mention Deadly Years.
Yeah, yeah. Deadly Years was my runner up because it gave the cast all something to do, but it's just not an episode I felt anyone would be that excited about.
Yeah.
It would just be kind of like, well, I mean, the whole gimmick of that episode was the cast gets old, so you have a certain amount of novelty to an older cast playing those roles now, but it's not an episode I don't think many people really love. So this, you know, part of this has to be, you know, this is a charity thing. They want fans to be excited to watch this. I think fans are more excited to watch Naked Time than they are to see The Deadly Years.
I agree with that. Jumping over to TNG though, this one, it's not one of our top episodes, but I think it is a fan favorite. And it was also just name dropped a couple weeks ago with the comfort food episode that we did. For TNG, I gotta give it to Cupid. This is the Q episode in which they're in Sherwood Forest. Everybody's in costume. Everybody is given something to do. And you watch TNG, and unless it's a Worf-centric episode, he's got nothing to do but just exposition. Same with Beverly. If it's not a Crusher-centric episode, she's just saying, you know, life signs are fading, Captain. It's that sort of stuff. In Cupid, everybody's given like silly stuff to do. It is hilarious. Fans would go wild. You'd have like Dorn smashing some mandolin off screen. It would be like a hoot to watch everybody like just play with this.
Yeah, that was actually my pick as well. Because I just thought, because first off, who does not want to tune in and hear Michael Dorn say, "I am not a merry man"?
Exactly.
Like everyone is just like screaming at their monitor in joy at that moment. And also you get to bring in, you know, the actual actor played Q. Like that's amazing. Like who does not want guest stars popping into this? So to me, like that's genius as well.
I purposely avoided like series premieres and series finales because I think it's a bit of a cheat in that like everybody is given something to do on purpose.
Yeah.
So that's just one of my little constraints that I gave myself here. But one of the other kind of runner-ups, I mentioned Naked Now, but Conundrum. That is a great one in which everybody's memory is wiped. They wake up and they all have different positions on the ship and they try to figure out what's going on, the Enterprise. And it's funny because the reason this one works is everybody is assuming different roles on the ship based on preconceptions, but they all kind of fall in line eventually. They make sure that they're giving Worf fun stuff to do, like trying to take command of the ship because he's wearing a baldric and other people aren't wearing baldrics. Yeah. The Ro and Riker stuff is really fun to see go down. Even Picard, you know, trying to be the diplomat, even if he doesn't have any memory of himself. It's all the kind of classic stuff that we have a lot of fun with the crew. And again, it's like, they're making that one much more of an ensemble, and TNG just wasn't that much of an ensemble, which is why this one is a little trickier to figure out.
And I think also one thing to point out with a lot of our picks across the board so far is that they are episodes that are not overly visual. Like they don't depend on a lot of space battles or effects or things that kind of disrupt the flow of a table read.
Well, that's why we would be moderating all these table reads and we would do the pew, pew, pew noises. we would flash to the space battles otherwise.
Right. So my runner-up, it may not have John Delancey or Jennifer Hetrick in it, but I went with Disaster.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, again, like Disaster, maybe not on a lot of fans' top five lists, but it's a solid episode. And all of the cast has stuff to do. You've got Troy on the bridge. You've got Worf delivering Keiko's baby. Picard with the kids. And we can bring back those same kids now that they're like 35 years old to play the same roles.
That'd be funny. And then like, in that airlock scene, we can have, you know, like Gates McFadden turn on a blow dryer just as she and Geordi are supposed to be blowing out the airlock. So
exactly. Like, I think ultimately, and I kind of break this rule a little bit, but going forward, but so far, my goal is to generally have fun episodes for fans to watch, just moments where they get to see the actors they love doing kind of fun stuff. Because I just think, you know, that's what a lot of people are going to be more willing to sign up for than like, I don't know, like one of the really heavy, like episode, Chain of Command Part 2, like live table read.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not that much fun. But both Disaster and Cupid, I think, give fans lots of big character moments. And also importantly, you have the characters interacting with each other in fun and interesting ways.
If we did Chain of Command 2, would Patrick Stewart do Zoom in the nude?
I mean, I would hope so. I would hope he would for Cupid too.
Okay. I don't quite remember that scene, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Director's cut.
Yeah, it's all waste up, people. That's how webcams work. So.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Cam, Deep Space Nine. Mm. I'll throw it over to you. This one, I probably have like a lot of potential picks here. I went back and forth because there's just so many to pick from.
Yeah.
I want to hear it from you. What is your number one pick for this?
So I really did flirt with, for example, like Take Me Out to the Holosuite seems like the perfect episode to do. But I was like, I think it has to have Jadzia in it. Like, I feel weird cutting Terry Farrell's character out of a live table read. So I actually picked one that doesn't fall into my fun category, but I think would genuinely be riveting, which was Far Beyond the Stars.
Right. I think that's actually a very topical one to
yes.
tackle at this moment in time. I definitely think you'd get the cast to agree to come back for that.
Not just the cast, Avery Brooks. Because I think, I don't know that he's necessarily going to be that excited to come back and recreate, Bada Bing, Bada Bang, for example. But you offer up Far Beyond the Stars. I think that's an important story to him. And I think he would be very passionate about coming back and restaging it with the cast. So that counts for a lot for me. Also, on top of that, this episode, I think, would just be like riveting, basically, internet theater. I think it would be just fascinating to watch. But also, there's roles for Jeffrey Combs and basically all of the others, Casey Biggs, Mark Alimo, they all get to show up too and do juicy stuff. What's the actress who plays Cassidy?
Penny Johnson Gerald.
Johnson, thank you. I kept thinking Penny Marshall, and I'm like, it's not Penny Marshall. Yes.
Nope, she did not. Penny Marshall did not play Cassidy Yates.
No, she did not. Ultimately, it gives a lot of that cast a reason to get back together and do something that I think would really matter to all of them, as opposed to maybe more of a trifle episode. And I have a backup pick here I'll talk about in a second. But the other ones may be more fun. The other ones may be more of a popular draw for a lot of fans. But I think this would be one that people would remember and revisit in years to come.
Well, it's interesting. There was an interview that went up, I think it was on Trek Movie this past week, and they were transcribing from this virtual convention featuring like Armin Shimmerman and an odd visitor. And they're just talking about how this was the serious set. It was not the jokey set that you got with TNG, because I think one of the questions I received is like, tell me about what kind of pranks you guys pulled on sets. I am fascinated by how every convention I go to, people demand to know what pranks happens at work. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's many pranks happening on the set of, say, Far Beyond the Stars, for example. But yeah. I'll take issue with one thing that you did bring up. Avery Brooks coming back. I don't think he's coming back no matter what episode. Like, I think we've got to understand that this guy is just retired. Like, he is not really doing any sort of stuff. I haven't heard him do any interviews during all the Black Lives Matter stuff, which you could tell is something very close to him. You know, we've heard over the years, whether we were there at a Sirach Lofton panel in Vegas a couple of years ago, where Sirach Lofton had expressed a lot of concerns about Avery Brooks's health. I just think this guy's officially retired, which is why I don't feel bad like going to my following pick here, because it's not like I'm expecting Avery Brooks to return in the role as Dr. Noah for Our Man Bashir. Episode.
Yeah.
In which the cast gets to dress up and have a lot of fun. You also get, you had mentioned, the possibility of bringing back, people like Jeffrey Combs, Mark Alimo. They're not in this one, but you do have Andy Robinson, Max Groninchek. They are even featured in this. And I think this is actually kind of a fun one for so much of the cast. This is actually like one of the cast's favorite episodes to do, just because everybody got to chew the scenery up so much. This would be fun to watch on Zoom.
This was actually my backup pick because, again, it fell into the Terry Farrell category for me, in that I wanted, like juicy stuff for Terry Farrell to do, because she's such like a cheerleader for Star Trek fandom. Now, I think she'd feel a little hurt if we were like, we're doing Take Me Out to the Holosuite. Can you just read the exposition? You know,
like, it would be like, that, or she gets to play the Vulcan rival.
Sure. But I felt like you want to have Jadzia doing awesome stuff. And in both, you know, in basically both these picks, we have Jadzia, or at least Terry Farrell, getting to do really fantastic stuff. So, yeah.
What was her character's name in R-Man? Was it Honey Bear? Oh. Dr. Honey or Bear or something like that?
Honey was part of it. That was definitely the first name, I think. I can't remember the last name. I don't think it was Bear, was it?
It may have been.
Maybe. But yeah, like Avery Brooks camping it up as sort of a Blofeld kind of riff. Michael Dorn, just so awesome at the casino. Like, I just think you'd have so much fun doing Our Man Bashir. Plus, Siddiq Al-Fadel, just getting to like have that twinkle and do all those kind of cheesy Bashir lines. I think this could be a lot of fun.
I looked it up. She did indeed play one Professor Honey Bear.
Wow.
Bear spelled B-A-R-E, which is hilarious. So
that makes sense, yeah.
But yeah, there's another funny character name in that. Like, I think it's, what was it, Mona Loves It? Like, that was that is such just like a fun, silly episode that they offered us here.
What was the name of Kira's character, the Russian?
It was I think it was Kamenov. Is that it?
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know. Everybody was having a hoot with this one. Even just seeing like Garak playing it straight as a spy within a spy genre, like that, like it was just so meta on so many different levels. And I would just love to hear Siddiq Al-Fadel go, the name's Bashir, Julian Bashir. You know, like that sort of stuff is awesome there.
And I think this episode does offer up as well a lot of moments that fans would really be excited to see.
So I've got another, here's my kind of runner up here. Because I really had to think about like, what are the ones that feature everybody? And I realized like there's one character, again, it's Jadzia. She wasn't showcased in the following one so much, but she did have a little bit. But Apocalypse Rising, in which we get to see Sisko, Odo, Worf, and O'Brien go undercover as Klingons. Worf did not have to do so much makeup changes, but the other guys did. But we also get like some Kira and Dukat stuff, like they're together in scenes. That is always hilarious to watch. The problem was, I did a little research into this one. Like Jadzia, she would have gone undercover too as a Klingon, but we all know that Terry Farrell has a lot of issues with skin. She can't be in the sun. That was an issue for an episode like Let He Who Is Without Sin. She also just, her skin just could not handle the makeup for this one. So that was kind of a bummer there.
Yeah, it is. Now, here's a question for you. Nicole DeBoer is obviously left out of our picks. How would you work her in? Is there a natural way you could see fitting her into this?
She plays Mona Loves It. I think that's in Armin Bashir. I think that would be kind of the way to do it. It'd be either that or she, Colin Meaney might decline and she can take over as Hawkeye.
Is there a role in Far Beyond the Stars that pops out to you?
I'm trying to think about, this is kind of tough, but I guess you'd want a familiar voice, a familiar face to take over for Aaron Eisenberg, who of course would not be able to do this one. So maybe she gets to play the paper boy at the beginning of the episode. Like it could be something like that.
I mean, she could do also the Renee Auberjonois role even too.
I just wonder if you got to go with like a different type. It's a little silly. I can see her playing a paper boy with like a newsboy Gatsby cap on, but for her going toe to toe, calling out, Armin Shimmerman's character as a pinko, you know, like that sort of stuff. Like, I think that you need like J.G. Hertzler was already, he's already in that episode as like the illustrator. I'm trying to think of like, I don't know, maybe
Philip Anglim.
Philip Anglim can come back as the publisher of the sci-fi magazine. That would be perfect.
There you go. Problem solved.
Cam, we're on to Star Trek Voyager now.
Yeah.
My turn to pick. Okay, so this one, it's kind of dopey. I do have like a very strong backup, but stay with me. How do you get every single main cast member back for Star Trek Voyager. I had to go with Fury, man. This is a return of Kes. It also includes Seven of Nine. It's one of the crappiest episodes of Voyager ever. It really does sour you on the character of Kes, but there's some weird, funky stuff going on with the Vidians. Neelix actually gets some powerful stuff to do, as does Janeway. They want to feature everybody because there's all the time travel stuff going on. You even get the return of one Joe Carey, which is hilarious. I think this could be not the episode fans have been craving. I've got one in the chamber, but this is how you get back Jennifer Leon, which I'm sure everybody's itching to see return to Star Trek Voyager once again.
Voyager I found very difficult because there's lots of episodes I thought, oh, that would make a great choice, like something like Tinker, Ten, or Dr. Spy, or Someone to Watch Over Me would be really fun. But then it's like, well, most of the cast doesn't really have anything to do in that episode. So I ended up like bouncing around forever, Memory Alpha, and just searching up on their synopsis of episodes, like, you know, the character names, to make sure that everyone was kind of covered. Because it was just like, Voyager's not great about doing the full ensemble episodes where everyone gets a lot to do. And so I have basically a front runner and I've got a backup. I don't know that either of these are fan favorites, but I think they could be interesting. So the one I'm going to go with as my front runner was the episode Night. The episode where they're going through the, you know, period of blackness, basically. There's no stars. And Janeway is having basically PTSD in her quarters. And we see how a lot of the crew is dealing with this. There's also a alien that comes aboard that's sort of musical. And he was played by Jonathan DeLarco. So we can even bring him back to reprise his role in the Zoom session. So I think that could be kind
of
fun.
Did he even have any lines? I'm not even sure if the alien had lines, though. So that could be interesting.
He could play the piccolo.
Okay, I could appreciate that. No, and the thing is that's notable about the episode, though, is that it is a season premiere. And that's why I brought up Apocalypse Rising as well. I think they go out of their way to give everybody something to do in the season premieres. So I think that's a smart one as well, in which they do spread things out. Night is also, it's a bottle episode, though. Like you said, like, you don't have to rely on our imaginations too much with regards to other planets or other spaceships. This is one that I think would be kind of practical for fans to sit there and watch. Is it as fun as Fury, though, Cam?
Well, the downside is the Voyager cast is super fun together. And so when I sat down to do this assignment, in my head, I'm like, I want a fun episode because I want Garrett Wong kind of cracking up and I want the cast all bouncing off each other and having fun. And it's like, you look at all the ones that are fun and a lot of people are sidelined. You know, Neelix is a tough character to find a lot to do for in a lot of episodes. Same with Tuvok. Chakotay often falls off to the side too. So it's like Knight offered basically all of them something to do, even though it's not necessarily what the fun Voyager reunion episode would be.
I think you have a very good point there. And you did kind of name drop what was my serious backup, which was Tinker Tenor, Dr. Spy, because you also have scenes where like Tuvok is going through Pon Farr, you know, it's in the Doctor's imagination. But they are even giving, like, Paris, who probably has the biggest laugh in the episode, where he gives the awkward wave at B'Elanna when she's trying to break up with him in search of the Doctor's love. Yeah. You know, those are kind of those small little moments that would be great. But you're right. I mean, how many lines is, say, Robert Beltran getting in Tinker Tenor, Dr. Spy? I just got to bring it up, if only for the briefing room scene. In a briefing room scene, everybody has something to do. And that briefing room scene in which the Doctor is trying to fight off the affections of every single female cast member, that might be something just absolutely amazing to witness on Zoom. And we're also guaranteed every actor is going to get a line during that particular moment.
That would definitely be a lot of fun. I definitely thought that that section of it would be gold. But my backup was, again, a little more of a serious episode, but I thought Course Oblivion could be kind of fun because, you know, it's basically the imposter versions of the cast figuring out exactly what their constitution is and this race against time. We get to see a wedding between fake B'Elanna and fake Tom. I thought this one would work because, again, all the cast has stuff to do. They're all investigating what exactly they are. and they're all having conversations with one another. So there is interplay. It's not like, even with Knight, which I think would actually be a really solid table read episode, Kate Mulgrew is off on her own a lot, which wasn't necessarily what I was looking for. But of course, Oblivion, they're much more together. The only thing is, kind of falls into that, I don't know, are like fans super excited to see a Course Oblivion episode where the characters aren't really the characters?
Do you think they would be more into like a Bride of Chaotica episode, even though characters are playing different characters, they're having fun with it? You know, it's Janeway as, you know, the Bride of Chaotica, or what is Queen Arachnoid, I think was her character name, for example. Like, that might be kind of a fun one. I just, does Chakotay or Tuvok really have anything to do in that?
Not really. It's like you get like three or four cast members get a lot to do in that episode, and then everyone else just kind of falls by the wayside.
Yeah, Voyager suffers very much from the same problem that TNG did, in which unless the character is the focus of an episode, everyone else is just kind of sidelined with a lot of exposition. So it makes it hard and makes it difficult to find like those great ensemble ones. The one that I think would be kind of fun, though, fans are probably going to think I'm still trolling them. But just for the sheer laughs you would get out of it, I think Threshold would be quite a lot of fun to see the cast reenact that one over Zoom.
Oh, I totally thought a Threshold would be a blast. The only thing is, I feel like you need Jeri Ryan there. And Jeri Ryan does not factor into that, yeah.
She's taking over Kessa's role in that one, right?
She's just making salamander noises at the end.
No, she plays the babies, yeah. Hey, the time commitment, you could probably convince Jeri Ryan to do it, right?
I would have to imagine. She just has to pop in for like 10 seconds.
Boom. Got it down.
Yeah. She can do that and the Picard one.
It's very disrespectful to Jennifer Leon, but the thing is, Kes actually has like a lot to do in that one because Tom spends so much time in the sick bay. So I think, you know, it's kind of sad, but maybe get Jeri Ryan to take over Jennifer Leon's role, because for fans that don't know, Jennifer Leon is off the map right now. She's just totally off grid. So I don't ever see a way of her coming back to do another episode over Zoom.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Cam, Enterprise.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the one that I picked, but I think this is the next most difficult one after TOS with, you know, what gives people stuff to showcase, you know, like what gives everybody stuff to showcase. But I've got my pick. I want to hear from you first, because I think I went first with Star Trek Voyager.
Okay, so the episode that I thought would work reasonably well, and again with Enterprise, like with Voyager, a lot of the cast gets pushed off to the side for a lot of episodes. You know, you go to the Zindi War and Mayweather is basically invisible. Boshi mostly disappears. So I ultimately went with the season 4 episode Observer Effect, where I thought, first off, it's basically a bottle episode. So the cast is just all kind of assembled. They're being taken over by Organians in that episode. And so you get the cast not only getting to play themselves, but get to play like the possessed versions of themselves as well, which is really fun. It's a little bit of like problem solving, a lot of interaction between the cast. And they all have stuff to do. Like Mayweather's in that episode quite a lot. Hoshi gets a lot to do. So it doesn't feel like people are being pushed, you know, off screen, or just get the one episode of, you know, hailing frequencies open or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not trying to judge you, but was your main reason for picking this one the decon chamber scene that we would get to see reenacted on Zoom? Is that it, sir?
I will not comment on that.
Are you pulling another Patrick Stewart nude in a Cupid sort of deal here? Is that it? You know?
I swear, yeah. I knew nothing about this.
Okay. But if you're doing an Enterprise episode, I think you're almost like a reunion episode. You're obliged to have like one cast member just take a bottle of hair gel and just like wipe it all over their arm or something like that. Sorry.
Who's the actor that does it though, Tyler? Who is the actor that does it?
Oh, it's John Billingsley. Like, what was the episode? I think he was only featured in like one episode doing decon chamber stuff. And
Bounty.
Was it Bounty?
Okay. Yeah, it's the one where he's in there with T'Pol. And her Pon Farr kicks in.
Right. Yeah, that could be Bounty. It was not on my list, but that could be a fun one to see the cast try to reenact their horniness on Zoom, especially that gym sequence with Reed and Mayweather. That would be hilarious.
That's Bound. Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bounty was with the.
That's the one where
the Bounty Hunter. Why am I blanking on that species name? The pig people.
Tellarite.
Tellarite. Yeah, you're right. Okay, I got you there. Hey, I'm sorry. Bound would be the fun one that I was thinking of.
Well, that was my backup, Tyler.
Okay, well, I kind of spoiled that. I'll go to my first one.
Yeah.
And then we can get into Bound a little bit as well. But I went with a season 4 episode as well, Home. This is the one where they finally return from the Zindi war. They've done away with Nazi aliens. And it's really just about all these characters getting a lot to do because everybody has returned to Earth for the same time, for their first time. Archer gets to go rock climbing with his old friend, Captain Hernandez. Mayweather, Reed, and Phlox go bar hopping. And there's a bit of a awkward scene in which Phlox is facing xenophobia upon his return home. And even Tucker and T'Pol, they get to go to Vulcan, which is the Vulcan stuff going on in that episode. It's actually some of my favorite Tucker and T'Pol moments that we get throughout the series. Unfortunately, Hoshi, she gets sidelined a little bit. She does have a nice scene about Phlox, with Phlox. But other than that, that's kind of a tough one there, though. But I don't know, your thoughts on doing Home over Zoom?
I think Home is another good pick, actually. One that didn't really pop into my head to do. The cast gets a lot to do there. You're right. Like, Hoshi's really the only standout as someone who doesn't. I guess the only issue that I kind of see is that you have T'Pol and Trip so separated, they don't get to bounce off the rest of the cast very much, but at least they have each other to talk to. So that's probably enough anyway.
Yeah. And I think also just the episode title Home, isn't that where we are all hanging out for the last 4 months at this point, Cam?
No kidding. One could also say, Tyler, we are homebound. So let's get to Bound.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Apologies for me kind of spoiling it ahead of time. We haven't seen our respective lists, so not my fault, but go for it, sir.
So Bound is the episode no one wants but me. Bound is like the guilty pleasure episode for me, and this is the one where the Orions take over the ship, and I just think this would be hilarious to watch as a Zoom read of like all the male cast members going gaga. You have weightlifting with Mayweather and Reed. You could bring in Kelby. I would love to see Kelby brought back to the screen.
That would be something to behold, though. Kelby, is he their version of, you know, Elnor or Ash Tyler, just the thankless character that they like to kick every time he's down?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The sad sack character. Yeah. And you could also bring back Saya Batten or, the other two accolade Orions. They're still around. There two of them at least do the cons.
It'd be a bummer if they don't put on green makeup, right?
Oh, you'd have to, right?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the whole cast, not just the Orions.
Oh, yeah. No, obviously. No, I didn't even think about the Orions. I was just thinking about Kelby wearing green makeup for some reason.
But this felt to me like a pick that while I would
But only on his hands.
Except there's a green handprint on his forehead.
Yes.
But this is an episode that as a Zoom session, I would be overjoyed to see. And I know that most fans would be like, why the hell would they pick that episode?
Yeah. Well, it's fun. Does it raise charity dollars the same way that Cupid would? I don't know.
I'm going to say no. I don't. It's not a question mark for me.
Right. My backup, though, I kind of cheated, but I kind of did not. Because you know how I said that I was staying away from, you know, series finales? Well, I did not pick These Are the Voyages, but I did go with Terra Prime. Demons, I believe, was actually the official penultimate episode. But this is one where they really are giving everybody something to do. Cam, I'm questioning myself. Was it Demons or was it Terra Prime that is the penultimate episode? Am I confusing you?
Yeah.
It's like a two-parter. I think Demons is the penultimate, right?
I think that's right, yes.
Okay, but with demons, you even have like Hoshi. She's involved with like solving the mystery because she's picking up those transmissions. We have the Section 31 stuff going on with Mayweather, or sorry, Reed is doing the Section 31 stuff, and we have Mayweather dealing with the betrayal of his old friend who's now a journalist turned spy. Everybody's getting stuff to do in this one. I think this is like a pretty solid episode with all the characters interacting with each other as well.
Okay, so just confirmation, Demons is part one of that two-parter, Terra Prime is part two.
Well, I think that's about the fifth time that I've gone back and forth on with the episode. But either way, maybe take it as a two-parter as a whole, even though I've stayed away from two-parters, because that's a long Zoom sesh for anybody. But
yeah, exactly. Like, I thought of Time Zero, for example, for the TNG cast, but I was like, no. I think a two-hour Zoom session is probably asking too much. So
yeah, so... but I think that, yeah, this is kind of, if we go with the second part of this one, that's where everybody really, they make sure everybody kind of goes out with a bang. And I think that's kind of smart writing on the part of Manny Coto. And like, it'd be fun to see the cast actually get their proper send off. Like, this is what fans like to think of as a series finale.
Yeah. And also you can bring in Peter Weller. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. Yeah.
And he would probably do it too. I think he would be down. So that would be a lot of fun. And
he's
done
enough Star Trek stuff. He likes the Star Trek universe. He likes coming to the conventions. Like, yeah, he's down.
Well, he's such like a genre guy with RoboCop and Leviathan. Like, he's always really made his money doing genre stuff. Also, Buckaroo Banzai. So I think he would be really fun to see on a Zoom session. Are you saying you don't want to see These Are the Voyages?
Look, maybe it brings back Frakes. That could be the one. And Sirtis, you know, that could be the one benefit. I do just want to interrupt, go back to something that you said. When you were talking about Peter Weller being a genre guy in RoboCop, I was thinking Jean-Luc Picard and Robert, Picard brothers, as featured in the episode Family, which could have been like a solid reunion episode for the cast as well. Because again, you got Worf doing stuff that isn't stupid. So that's pretty good. But
Yeah. Okay, so should we move into Discovery then?
Yeah, sir. This one... I went back and forth on two. I'll give you what my ultimate pick was, and it's Into the Forest We Go, the mid-season finale. This was kind of a high octane sort of episode. The important thing here is they give everybody something to do, especially I'm thinking about Ash Tyler, as well as stuff going on with him, Laurel, and Admiral Cornwell. We also get a lot of shiftiness from Lorca, and we get to see the characters be smart by trying to unleash, you know, or try to destabilize the advantage that the Klingons have with the cloaking device. So this is like a solid episode where they make sure that everybody has agency in this one. This is why I think this would be like a real fun one. I remember you and I were absolutely delighted that this was where they left off, as opposed to a week before, which was kind of a dud. Which is CV Packham Parabellum, which was originally slated to be the mid-season finale.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about even like the Cole versus Burnham fight sequence, which would be great. We know that, you know, Kenneth Mitchell, the actor who played Cole, you know, despite like a lot of debilitating medical issues that he's facing right now, he's as involved with fandom as he can be. And I think he'd be down for a return over Zoom as well. And he could totally do it.
Well, not only that, this is Cole getting to speak English as well. So that would be really cool too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, that was my choice. Kim, for Discovery, what did you pick ultimately?
I went with Despite Yourself.
Okay. That was my backup. That was my runner up there, but let's get into it. Yeah.
The episode that came right after the one you just named. So, Despite Yourself is their first episode in the Mirror Universe. To me, in my head, I don't know that there's anything that goes over better with Discovery fans on a Zoom session than Tilly channeling Killy on the view screen. Like, I think that would be so much fun to see Mary Wiseman get to do live. So, I thought that was fantastic. You also have Laurel actually in her cell talking back and forth with Ash Tyler. So, you actually get to see Mary Chifo coming in and doing some really juicy stuff as well. Also, same with your episode, Mary Chifo would be there as well. But I think anytime you can use Mary Chifo as Laurel in a live read, that is to your advantage. So I thought that was a great choice to have her there. Also, I felt like this one would work really well because it's not as beholden to some of the like ongoing serialization, it stands just enough alone that you can kind of do it on its own and not feel like, you know, it's just so continued that there's no point.
Well, yeah, because it's almost kind of a reset for them because they're resetting everything in the Mirror Universe. So it's all, it's universe building within that. So you're right. It's not beholden as much to the ongoing serialization.
And two other things. Hugh Colbert gets a fair amount to do and dies in this one. So you get to actually have that moment there. But
all of the fans' favorite moment, Cam, of Star Trek Discovery. That moment sucked, though. That was like the one like really crappy part of this episode.
It is, but at least he gets a lot to do and is not like gone from that episode. You know, like I couldn't pick anything basically after this because it's like I want Wilson Cruz involved in this. No. The one downside I found with Despite Yourself, though, is that Stamets is basically in a catatonic state for this one. So he's mostly just mumbling gibberish.
That's actually the reason I didn't I didn't pick this one is because Stamets just doesn't really have much to do. And but at least we get to maybe do a bit of a redo on Culber's essence transferring into Stamets. Maybe the actors can have fun with that and, I don't know, wave their hands in the air or something like that to signify that somehow the teardrops of Stamets or whose teardrops? Somebody's teardrops transfers the soul into somebody else. It's very like sci fantasy as opposed to sci fiction, right?
Yeah, it's very convoluted. Yes.
The other fun moment that I wanted to bring up from this one is Lorca doing the Scottish accent. Like that was like hilarious as well. I'd love to see Jason Isaacs do this. The only bummer is like, do you find a role for say, you know, one Anson Mount in an episode like this?
Well, I mean, I was going to suggest Jonathan Frakes directed this episode. He could come and do the exposition. But you could also have Anson Mount do it. Either way.
That could be fun. Yeah. Maybe, you know what, it would just be a little too confusing to insert Anson Mount in there. Maybe Jonathan Frakes doing the exposition. That would be kind of the thing to do.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah, so. Okay.
I should actually say then also my backup for Discovery was Magic to Make the Sanest Man Go Mad, which I did very strongly consider making the front runner. The only thing was, like, I was like, Tilly doesn't have a lot to do in that one. And I feel like Mary Wiseman is such a fan favorite. You want to have her getting to do a fair amount in the episode. But you could bring in Rainn Wilson, which would be a blast. And I thought ultimately you could have Mary Wiseman also play Stella, you know, Harry Mudd's beloved. So I thought you could do that. And that could be really fun as well. It's a high concept episode. You don't have to have a lot of action you have to explain. And you'd get Jason Isaacs also squabbling with Harry Mudd. A lot of fun stuff there. Plus the big speech from Stamets and Culbert to Burnham about love. I think this one could work as well.
Well, maybe we can do that one, but as a bonus to Mary Wiseman, instead of playing Stella, she gets to do the runaway short trek reenactment over Zoom. That would be I don't know, we can see more mess hall food fights or something go on.
Can't wait.
I know. Cam, I don't know, Star Trek Picard, we probably have the same one, but I can make an argument for my runner-up. But are we both in the same boat? Are we going with Nepenthe? Is that kind of the episode that we want?
Okay, so yes, but I felt like I'm picking it selfishly because I'm like, just get Frakes and Sirtis in there to do cool stuff. I have a different
pick. That would raise money for charity, right?
It would. I have a different pick if we want it to be more representative of Picard. So,
okay. Well, let's go with what's your other pick then?
I thought Broken Pieces because you have a lot of the cast interacting on La Serena. Yes, Seven and Elnor are separated. They're on the Borg cube, but at least they get to talk to one another. I felt like that one would probably work the best because the cast really doesn't spend that much time together. And Broken Pieces is one of the few where the majority of them are all together and they have that big scene around the table where they're all talking. I feel like in some ways the episode that might work the best is the one I would never want to see as a table read, and that's Stardust City Rag. The cast is like all there together, but like I don't want to watch that.
So no, neither would I.
I'm being selfish,
Pieces,
yeah.
Broken Pieces was my other pick in this regard. The one thing, though, is that Narc doesn't appear in it at all.
What's the problem?
Well, exactly. Like, which you and I don't, doesn't bother us. Like, that was another kind of thankless character. But I remember watching this one. I think we both really like Nepenthe. Broken Pieces, though, I am curious about our rewatch because I felt very strongly that holistically, this is like the show kind of getting its act together. Like, it was like a strong beginning, middle, and end. And I think the show just kind of all imploded by the time we got to the two-part finale. But mm-hmm. I think Broken Pieces showed some signs that things could work on Star Trek Picard, despite a lot of the issues that we were having. And like you said, like there's so much ship-based stuff on La Serena. I think this is a pretty solid episode to do a table read, but maybe, I don't know, Narek gets to do all the exposition reading for that one. Like, I just, we're not missing him, but I'm sure the actors would feel bad if they can't have their good buddy come join them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure they can find a way to work Harry Treadaway in there. So, but Nepenthe is the one that I think would just be a home run because, again, like bringing back Sirtis and Frakes, they have so many memorable moments. And just the character dynamics between them and Picard and Soji and even their daughter, Kestra. Like, I think that could be really great stuff to watch because it's funny, it's heartfelt, it's rooted deep in the characters we know and love. I think this one would work really well.
Down with that. I'm down with that. So, yeah, Cam, I guess that barring, I don't know, another short trek, have we reached the end of our reenactments or reunion episodes for a table read?
Well, okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. If they had to recreate one short trek, which one would be the one you would want to see?
I think you could make a very solid case for Ephraim and Dot. That's what I would want to see reenacted in Zoom.
Not Children of Mars, huh?
No, I just want somebody making like funny alien noises for 15 minutes on Zoom. And you have to use your imagination. You know?
Well, I mean,
what about you? I was being facetious. I think The Escape Artist is just a fun episode, and it doesn't really reunite many casts. All it really is just like a Harry Mudd centric episode. But I don't know, like Rainn Wilson having fun playing around with, you know, like bounty hunters, like that could be a fun one there.
That could be a blast. Rainn Wilson, I mean, I had him as my backup for Magic to Make the Sanest Man Go Mad. I think if you bring Rainn Wilson in, it's going to be fun. I think that's a great pick. My backup was, you know, we talked about Anson Mount didn't really fit in that great. So why not do Q&A? You got, Ethan Peck, you've got Rebecca Romijn stuck in the turbo lift. I think that could be really fun to watch. And then Anson Mount shows up at the end. I think that could be a genuinely entertaining, you know, 15 minutes on Zoom. So I think that's probably my best pick. And it's also kind of more like it's one location for the most part. So it's much more like a theater kind of ready than some of the other ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I could totally buy that and want that one as a short trek.
Mm-hmm. So I guess before we sign off, we should say a little bit of an update on last week's podcast episode. Tyler, you had proposed that you thought Lower Decks was going to premiere before Star Trek Discovery. Well,
yeah, well, it is. We now have an official date. It's going to be August 6th. We're excited for this because, of course, I think for listeners, we want to let everybody know that we will be doing weekly reviews of the show, barring, I don't know, some sort of disastrous sort of premiere that makes us think that there's not going to be anything to talk about every week. But the fact is, this show takes place within Star Trek continuity. If we can do a short trek for a full hour every single time a short trek premieres, we're going to have fun doing these deconstructions of Lower Decks for the 10 weeks to follow.
I'm really looking forward to this because I feel like I'm going into a Star Trek show. I have no way of basically gauging what I'm going to get out of it. You know, when we go into Discovery, you're kind of looking for those TNG-ish or TOS-ish kind of tropes or styles to it versus like an animated half-hour comedy. It's going to be an entirely new way of discussing Star Trek, which I think is really fun.
Well, exactly. And I think every time that we get a chance to have our expectations subverted or recontextualized within the Star Trek realm, I think that's awesome. That's why I can't complain too much about, some of those JJ movies, Into Darkness, notwithstanding, but that really gave us new ways of thinking about Star Trek. And that's what you and I love to do and deconstruct. So this is going to be a blast for us coming up in just a month's time.
It is. And I love that that announcement fell like, four days after we recorded our current State of Trek episode, continuing the trend of major announcements coming out shortly after we record that episode.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this, though. We did get to see the design of the new ship that we'll be following the crew on. What do you think of the ship design, though? It's a prominent saucer section with the nacelles and deflector dish completely separated except for what looks to be some pretty sturdy beams connecting those right. two sections.
I liked it a lot, and I'll say I think it looks cooler than Discovery.
Yeah, I kind of miss, having kind of the body to that ship, but honestly, like, there's people complaining about the ship design. They're saying, oh, it looks kind of dopey. I was like, I don't know, I like it a lot better than a lot of kind of the recent ship designs. The one Starfleet ship that we got to see in Star Trek Picard was pretty bland looking. Like, this is not a bland looking ship. And it gets away from what was bugging me a lot about how they kept trying to make Starfleet vessels look more and more streamlined. I think you're going for a solid saucer section. Like, that's what I really dig. And it looks cool. And I also posted this on Facebook in a Facebook group that was complaining about the ship design. I said, I don't know. Maybe the way it's designed like that is it's part of the joke. This is kind of, it's supposed to be a comedic show. Maybe it's who's got the crappy job of having to, move in between the separated sections of that particular ship. Maybe that's part of the funniness. Who knows? We'll find out.
I remember there was a test they had with the previous Star Trek ships going way back, especially Deep Space Nine, where, and that's not a ship, obviously, but just your central location, where the rule was a kid had to be able to draw it. And I think this passes that test, where I think a kid can look at this ship and go, I can draw that. And whatever they draw will remind people of what exactly it is. Whereas, honestly, I am racking my brain at the moment. I could not draw La Serena if you, held a gun to my head, or a phaser, I guess.
I can't. I don't have a clue. I really don't.
Like, Discovery, I could, but La Serena, I'm like, was it a block? I don't remember.
It was kind of blocky. It might remind you of almost like one of those Blade Runner cars to a right. certain degree.
Okay.
But if you ask me to draw it, would any Star Trek fan be able to identify the ship that I'm drawing for them? No, they'd probably think, I don't know, is that like a Romulan scout vessel, and shrug and walk away from me? So,
is that a tricorder?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
Is that Ronan's candle from Sub Rosa?
Well, that's what you're usually drawing. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so on that note, our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, we want to hear from you. Jump on over to the Facebook page at facebook.com/subspacepod. Tyler, what are we doing next time?
Cam, we are going to figure out how to fix Star Trek. What? Star Trek's broken, you say? No. But there's certain episodes that jump out, certain movies, certain series, perhaps, that just have kind of glaring errors that make them flawed. But are they actually, completely, garbage? I'd say no. So we are going to workshop it, Cam. We are going to save some of those bad episodes. We're going to figure out what we can do to make Star Trek good again in these situations. It's going to be a fun one to just kind of workshop how to fix Star Trek.
Looking forward to this. Okay, you can, of course, find us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam V as in very interested in a Friendship 1 Zoom session. Smith.
You can find me at Reportin. That's R-E-P-O as in our man Bashir. Julian Bashir. R-T-O-N.
Okay, so until next time, the arena is closed. We'll be right back.
Transfer complete.